Chapter 17. Qualia. Quantum physics shows that the world appears in one way and exists in another. To quote Stephen Hawking from his book about quantum physics called The Dreams That Stuff Is Made Of, an interesting choice of title, I might add, we are reminded of Bertrand Russell's words, "We all start from naive realism, that is, the doctrine that things are what they seem. We think that the grass is green, that stones are hard, and that snow is cold. But physics assures us that the greenness of grass, the hardness of stones, and the coldness of snow are not the greenness, hardness, and coldness that we know in our experience, but something very different. It is these dreams that stuff is made of. The greenness, hardness, and coldness of the world are subjectively experienced qualia, the Latin word from which we get the word quality, created in and by our consciousness, using our brain, nervous system, and sense organs as processing facilities. Jung writes, "We can only make the dimmest theoretical guesses about the nature of matter, and these guesses are nothing but images created by our minds. It is my mind, with its store of images, that gives the world color and sound, and that supremely real and rational certainty, which I call experience, is in its most simple form an exceedingly complicated structure of mental images. Thus, there is, in a certain sense, nothing that is directly experienced except the mind itself. Everything is mediated through the mind, translated, filtered, allegorized, twisted, even falsified by it. We live immediately only in the world of images." Compare Jung's words to Schrödinger's. On the one hand, I undoubtedly form part of nature, while on the other hand, objective nature is known to me as a phenomenon of my mind only. Are Jung and Schrödinger's words the words of a psychologist describing the world of physics, or of a physicist describing the world of psyche? Russell comments, "Everything that we can directly observe of the physical world happens inside our heads and consists of mental events. The stuff of the world may be called physical or mental or both or neither as we please. In fact, the words serve no purpose." Russell, a logician par excellence, is succinctly expressing the aforementioned four-valued logic. His words also express that the distinction between mind and matter is illusory. Scientific materialism leaves consciousness out of its picture of the world, and thus falsifies the most important fact about reality: we only experience it. To quote Schrödinger, "The world of science has become so horribly objective as to leave no room for the mind and its immediate sensations." Previous to the advent of quantum physics, physics had become so horribly objective that there was no living space for the subject of experience. This has developed into a taboo against subjectivity that still pervades science and constrains the practice of the scientific method with unnecessary restrictions on its freedom to explore and investigate anything and everything, be it subjective or objective. Schrödinger writes, "The scientific picture of the real world around me is very deficient. It gives me a lot of factual information, puts all our experience in a magnificently consistent order, but is ghastly silent about all and sundry that is really dear to our heart, that really matters to us." Mechanistic/deterministic explanations of life ignore the actual experience of living. The felt presence of the immediate experience of the individual, which is the medium through which all that we know and learn is transmitted into our beings, is strangely ignored and even devalued by this type of scientific mindset. Philosopher David Chalmers suggests that consciousness, or experience in his terminology, should be seen as a fundamental feature of the world, alongside mass, charge, and space-time. All experience, however, is made of qualia. The theory of qualia gets at reality through directly lived experience. Rooted in consciousness, the only reality that we can ever know is qualia. We live in a qualia-verse. Hopefully, physics is returning to its authentic purpose, which is not only to comprehend the nature of the measurable world, but the nature of the experienced world as well. What physicists describe as elementary particles are actually patterns of activity momentarily flickering into seeming existence, the result of insubstantial quantum fields interacting with each other as well as with our consciousness. Elementary particles only exist for us as transitory traces within the field of our experience. Science fiction writer Philip K. Dick writes, How real is a Beethoven symphony without one of us? We are part of the equation with it, and essential to it. Half is on the record, but we are part of the playback equipment. Similar to how a rainbow doesn't ultimately exist without a consciousness that is experiencing it, we are the other half of the equation that brings a Beethoven symphony, not to mention the universe, to life. Wheeler writes, "There is not a single sight, not a single sound, not a single sense impression which does not derive in the last analysis from one or more elementary quantum phenomena. There is simply no way to know that reality exists outside qualia, which are the quantum building blocks of creation. Our sensory qualia are often mistaken as being perceptions of a real, objective, independently existing world out there. We must remember that our experience of the world is brought to us through our five senses, and then neurologically remixed within our minds into a convincing experience of a seemingly solid, external, and material world. Upon closer inspection, in actual fact, all we have is the mysterious immediacy of our first-hand phenomenological experience. The idea of a real physical external world is an unwarranted presumption that we are overlaying onto our direct experience of qualia. When carefully contemplated, it becomes obvious that the appearance of a solid external world arises within our awareness. It is not nearly as external as we tend to think." Schrödinger writes that the stuff from which our world picture is built is yielded exclusively from the sense organs as organs of the mind, so that every man's world picture is and always remains a construct of his mind and cannot be proved to have any other existence. Instead of thinking that the physical world is primary and our psyche is derivative from the real physical world, Jung points out, "It is an almost absurd prejudice to suppose that existence can only be physical. As a matter of fact, the only form of existence of which we have immediate knowledge is psychic. We might well say, on the contrary, that physical existence is a mere inference, since we know of matter only insofar as we perceive psychic images mediated by the senses. Since we are never able to describe anything as it is, but only as it appears to our minds, we can never have a pure physics, but only neurophysics, that is, physics as known only through the mediation of the human nervous system." According to quantum theory, the greenness of grass, the hardness of stones, the coldness of snow, in fact the entire outside world, does not exist out there, independently of and separate from ourselves, but rather exists nowhere except within our own minds. To realize this is, in Henry Corbin's words, to be delivered of the fiction of an autonomous datum. Wheeler writes in his journal, "Aren't we mistaken in making the separation between the universe and life and mind?" In other words, is our thinking that the universe is separate from our mind a grave error? In an interview in which he was asked about this idea, Wheeler responded with his typical humility, "I'm one of the most baffled men in the world on this subject."